Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What is happening, Kat?
Hey. So we're back again on a second episode so soon after the previous episode.
That's because we've been slacking.
You have, sir. I have not.
Jumble.
And so today we're gonna talk about TV shows. We're gonna catch up on like what's coming up, what's been happening. We're gonna talk about Defiance, Under the Dome, Falling Skies, and we're gonna preview, well, we might talk about Warehouse 13 as well, and we're gonna preview Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Tomorrow People, Sleepy Hollow, and whatever else we can find.
We're going to cram it in. We're going to do this. Hit it.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. So, TV. That's a thing.
I've heard of it. The kids have mentioned it to me.
I'm surprised that you have time for TV, sir. And you had so much time for so much TV. So, Defiance. It's a Sci-Fi Channel TV show. I vowed after Eureka was canceled that I would not be caught dead watching or liking anything else on the Sci-Fi, because I got sick of them taking my shows away, a la Farscape, BSG, all of these shows. They have a history, and I was pretty angry with them for a while. However, something's changed. I think somebody's doing something at that channel, because they have several shows that I actually like. I'm not saying they won't cancel them. I'm prepared for that. But they're things that I kind of like, and I find myself watching the channel. I watch Face Off, and I couldn't believe how much I love that show, because they're doing zombie makeup and crazy costumes, and isn't that weird?
Well, they're trying. They're trying. I'll give them some credit. The content's getting a little bit better, so I'll give them a little bit of credit.
You got rid of somebody who was holding them back, and I don't know who it is, but whatever you guys are doing, keep it up.
It's an improvement.
Okay. So Defiance.
Yep.
I had to catch this because I wasn't watching it. I just wasn't feeling it. It looked interesting, but I watched like the first 15 minutes. I was pumped up about it, and then I kind of got unpumped up about it. And then I didn't tell Carl that I had stopped watching, and then he watched the whole thing. And so I caught up on it, and I really became attached to this show.
You see how she does? She just leaves me on and then just leaves me hanging. That is exactly what happened.
But you like it.
So what do I think of Defiance? What do I think of Defiance? You know, the interesting thing is, you know, I love Farscape, right?
Yes.
So Farscape is pretty epic. And one of the, you know, the chief writers of Farscape was Rockne O'Bannon. He also one of the chief writers for Defiance. So I said, hey, you know, we're going to be seeing stuff. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be some kind of, I'm not going to say crossover, but just a consistency in quality between the two, because it was so revolutionary what they were doing. I look forward to seeing them again. Two of the interesting things about Farscape. One, I loved the A stories. You know, the main line, the main storylines, all the silliness that was going on right in the foreground. A lot of excitement, a lot of craziness, a lot of unpredictability. But then there were these B plots, the sub stories, the arcs that seemed to connect all the episodes together, and they were, you know, it was this sort of rich context that everything in the world of Farscape happened in. Having those two things together made Farscape a powerful and a very rich, believable experience. It was awesome. I think I know which part of the writing Rockne O'Bannon was involved with in Farscape. He did the arcs, or the story, or the B lines. Because when I watch Defiance, Defiance feels like B plots. The whole thing feels like B plots. Not saying it's bad, because they are creating a very believable, rich environment. it just keeps feeling like that the A plot is about to happen. You know, it's we're telling you all of this because what's really the story is really about is this. But it doesn't feel like we've gotten to that part yet. So
okay, the story really feels like what and what?
Okay, so normally when you're watching the story, the immediate people that are involved, the core of what's going on, each episode can sort of stand on its own. And in the background, you know, there's the broader arcs. There's the broader history.
Okay, so don't just explain it like that. What's the broader arc here in defining?
Well, the broader arc is, you know, what is the key thing that's, you know, that's in the girl? You know, the broader arc is where is humanity going as a result of all of this multiple aliens on Earth and the destruction of the planet? You know, are we going to survive? Are we going to make it? What's going on? All of these broader things seem to be going on. The politics of who's going to run Defiance and where is Defiance place in the United Colonies or whatever. All of that is what we know of now that we've been watching Defiance. We know the politics. We know the history. We know the council. We know all of that stuff. But the day-to-day, like, you know, what would normally be the core of the story, that seems to be a little light. You know, something seems to be missing with just
I just can't understand what you're saying, because they're telling us about the day-to-day we live in with them every day. I mean, we're seeing things that happen in their little
we are seeing things that happen, but it doesn't seem to be that interesting. You know, the day-to-day, the greater arc, like I said, the greater arc is what I keep hanging in there for, and I can feel like something big is going to happen.
Something big happened in the first episode, and then we found that it was like some lady was like the old mayor was doing crazy crap, and then like we found out about the girl, and I'm not really sure what your complaint is. I don't understand it. I mean,
I feel like the context for the story is there. And sort of like the background, the bigger stuff is happening. But episode to episode, like if you watched one episode of Defiance by itself, not counting the pilot, because the pilot always throws in all the special effects and all that stuff. If you don't count the pilot, and you just watched a single episode of Defiance, do you feel like you would have gotten a rich story experience from a single episode?
Well, I haven't only watched one episode, so I can't answer that.
You can imagine.
I would want to find out more based on some of the things that I really like in this show.
Okay, see, that for me, watching one episode, it did not keep me with Defiance. Watching one episode by itself, it felt like, you know,
why would you do that? Why would you think that way when there's not one episode?
Because it's possible for good TV shows and good stories to have individual episodes that stand on their own as being very powerful. And
NCIS maybe, but I mean, well, this is not the same thing.
But there are plenty. I mean, it doesn't have to be just science fiction. It doesn't have to be mystery. Lots of good shows can stand alone on their own.
But I don't think this is the writing style of that. This is not that type of show. I mean, mostly science fiction shows are. You have to watch a whole arc of stuff. You can't watch them individually.
Yeah, you can. There's plenty of good sci-fi that you can watch a single episode and go, "Wow!"
Not BSG, not Lost.
Oh, not Lost, but BSG, you can watch Battlestar Galactica and get a lot out of a single episode. You don't have to know
Some episodes, and with Doctor Who, yes, some episodes, but not all of them. Some of them have really arcs that if you watch the wrong one, you're not going to know what's going on. It just depends on which one you're picking.
Yeah, but not, you know, we've seen, 13 episodes so far of Defiance?
Mm-hmm.
Out of those 13 episodes, how many do you think could stand alone as an individual episode?
The wedding one.
Wow. That, okay. all right.
The wedding one I really liked. I can't answer your question because I haven't just watched one episode.
Okay, but so the other reason this is important is because if you're trying to bring people into a show, You gotta catch them. You gotta be able to pull them in and get them excited about the characters and what's going on as quick as one episode.
Yeah, but this is not a show for idiots, so you can't just watch it like CSI and expect to get everything. An intelligent person would say, hey, I haven't watched all of this. I'm going to go back and watch them in order. And then they would do that and understand the layout of the show. I'm thinking you're talking about some mythical idiot that who's not watching the show in the proper order, and you expect them to get this is not that type of show.
Are you kidding me? You don't have to be an idiot. You just have to say, hey, let me see what's on and decide to you just tune in episode 4.
Yeah, you're talking about people, how people used to watch TV.
What do you mean?
People just don't watch TV. I mean, people watch TV randomly. If they find something, they hold their phone up to the screen. What is this? Oh, this is the something season 1, episode 13. That means there's 12 before. Let me try to watch. Either I'm not going to watch it, or I'm going to try to find the first one and watch all of them so I can understand what's happening here, because that's the availability of shows that we have now. I don't understand why you're trying to watch a show in a vacuum and trying to.
I'm telling you, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I think that before somebody would watch a show and say, you know what, I'm going to go back and watch this entire series from the beginning so I can understand what's going on, the one show that they happen upon has got to catch their attention.
Well, I think maybe it would because of all the weirdness going on. You got people in white wigs. You got people doing one thing. They, if you just drop in, you don't know what the hell is going on. So you can get curious that way.
Or you could say, this is too weird. Nothing happened in this episode. I'm not going back.
The majority of people will say that because it's a science fiction show.
No, no. But even science fiction has, you know, gunfights or science fiction. Most of the time, there is an A plot in it that makes sense, that people have heard of before, that's similar to something else. And then it happens within the context of something else that's broader and stranger. Okay, just like you use the wedding episode. All right, people heard of a wedding before, even though it's science fiction. You know the A story. Here's a wedding that's going on. The B story is, oh, but it's in the context the two families don't want to get along, and there's a battle.
Romeo, Juliet,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Great. Okay, wait. So the episode that you said people could watch one on its own and be okay is the wedding episode. I found
that. I just
pulled
one out of my ass.
Well, at least it was something that, you know, it had a beginning and an ending in the core of the story. But, you know, people might not be that enthusiastic about watching a show that's got a wedding in it. You know, they go, oh, wow, a science fiction wedding.
People might not be. I mean, if they're not in. Carl, I think you're arguing for some mythical viewer that does not exist.
Are you telling me? Okay, so no other science fiction program that is on, individual episodes stand out as
well.
Quality.
We only got the one science fiction show now.
I mean, in the history of science fiction, that would be what's on right now. I just mean, you know, when you think about science fiction shows in general, there's no other show in the history of science fiction that you can watch one episode and feel like you've got a solid story start to finish. You feel like you know what's going on, and that's it.
I don't think you could do that with any one show. You're going to see something. I think each show is like a preview for another show. You're not going to just drop in on one episode of Doctor Who and say, hey, I've seen this one episode. I know everything I need to know about the Doctor, and boom, I'm done. I mean, are you saying they're done after that? Or are you saying that the people that watched the one episode of Defiance may or may not want more if they watch just one episode? I mean, who does that anymore? Just watch one episode of something.
People who are trying something for the first time, which is what they're doing here. They're doing
but people are a little bit more intelligent today, and they know that if they're watching something out of order and it's not the first time they're watching it and it's not the first episode, that, hey, logically, if they want more, they can go back to the first episode and get it, mainly online. Or am I just missing your whole point? I think I am, because I don't get.
All I am saying is, if somebody is watching the show and the A plot is not bottled up in one episode, and you've got this level of weirdness going on in the background, they may not be encouraged to continue or to find out more about it. They'll just look at it and dismiss it.
Either they will or they won't. I mean, either their friends would tell them about him or it won't. It's not getting canceled. They are shooting the second season right now in Toronto. So, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just, it's an okay show.
I have watched the whole thing. And it took watching the whole thing that to finally, you know, I will continue to watch Defiance, but I feel like there's something missing in terms of I don't know, it's the motivation, I don't know what it is. It's like they've made this incredibly beautiful canvas. I mean, you know, I love the costuming, you know, I like the look of the characters. They did a good job with Defiance. I even like the promotions. The car they threw in there was kind of cool. From that was probably one of the best commercial, you know, fold-ins with the the Dodge, I think, is in there.
I don't watch commercials because I don't have a TV.
You don't have to, because it's naturally marbled into show. But don't worry. Anyway, so the environment of Defiance is really, really, really good. But I'm not really getting that excited about the individual episodes yet. It's just not. You know, it just feels incomplete. It feels like I'm watching one giant B plot, and I'm still waiting for the main thing to happen in Defiance. So, but
what main thing?
Anything? I don't know. I just an episode by episode. It should.
I don't know. I think
it's. Just, I mean, it's
your expectations are wrong
it's
for
my,
the show.
It's my same complaint with Defying Gravity. Okay, you want to take it back there?
No, I agreed with you on Defying Gravity that it was miserable to watch.
Why now?
Because it was a science fiction show with no science fiction.
Oh, they were in space.
They were in space, but they had the trappings of everything science fiction. But it felt like Grey's Anatomy in space. This does not feel like Grey's Anatomy in space. This feels like people on Earth got melded with like a few different aliens, and they're trying to make it in old St. Louis. Why they calling it Defiance now? I don't know why they just don't call it St. whatever, but it's happening, and we're seeing the day-to-day thing that they do. They have like little radio stations, they have cultural differences, they have weird things about each alien that we don't know. We get to know a little bit about them each episode. We get to find out one chick has a swarmy thing in her that has to connect with another swarmy thing, and somebody died and somebody came back to life, blah blah. I mean, there's a lot of little things going on, and the thing that's most impressive about me is that I didn't realize that the main bad guy that was mayor for a while, that was Van Gogh on Doctor Who, and I just thought that was really excellent because I loved him in Doctor Who, and I cried on that episode, and here he is just showing out as a bad guy, and he's just a totally different person, and I enjoy watching that. I enjoy everything. I enjoy a lot about this show. It reminds me of Firefly in a way that people just didn't get it at first. And it took, and of course, it was some of the execs who made the decision to air it out of order, but we won't go there. But if you really got into the mood of the characters and their little quirks and their little things that they do, it's just a fun thing to watch. Doesn't need to be epic. It doesn't need to be, it's not like Defying Gravity at all. Defying Gravity was kind of bad.
Why? Well, I mean, when you say it was kind of bad, the acting was good in it. The special effects were good.
But
in
it didn't make it didn't. Well, okay, now I understand what you mean. Like something was supposed to be happening, but it's different for Defiance in a way, because these were just like regular people doing stuff in space. But like, why were they there? And with Defiance, it's like we know why they're there. We know what they're doing. We know what their purpose is.
That they're trying to make it in a small town, and
they're trying to make their whole little DS9 situation work. Mm-hmm. They got a whole bunch of aliens there, and they're trying to make it work. And they're trying to live together, and they're trying to do something different.
That sounds really exciting.
It's interesting. It's interesting to watch. I mean, I like the journey that the writers have taken us on. It's not anything that I expected. I like that I don't expect or can predict what they're going to do. It's not as bad as Stargate SGU, where I just couldn't connect with anything that they were doing.
It is better than SGU.
It's better than Defying Gravity. I mean, I think it's a... I mean, if you just want a little quirky fun show that you don't have to be all, you know, glued to, or you just want something to watch, I think it's fine. It's not going to be Battlestar Galactica, and I'm okay with that. I really enjoy looking at the thing because, like you said, the environment is beautiful. Those people have turned, they feel like they are, yes, on a budget, because like something was an upside down shopping cart or something that they was using for something at some point.
Well, they're recycling found objects.
Upcycling. Mm-hmm. And so I just like what how they have taken a small budget and really made their world feel rich and made each alien feel different and individual and unique. And they're just, it feels like they're trying to do a lot of things with this show. And I just appreciate maybe I'm liking it for the craft of it, Carl. I mean, sue me. But
I'll tell you right now, I agree with you on all of the stuff that you mentioned. The craft, why it is beautifully done, and I think the acting is excellent on Defy. I mean, you know,
yeah,
these people are definitely pulling it off. Very rich characters. They're interesting to look at. They are. Eventually, their stories are going to really happen. But
their stories are happening. I don't understand what you're saying, and that nothing's happening. There's a lot going on this show. I mean, we've had A plots and B plots. Are you waiting for a C plot or an Omega plot? I don't know what you want.
And
you know what? I feel as frustrated as a writer of this show. Like, what the hell do you want? And you know what? I'm going to ignore your grumpy ass and do what I do. Listen, show that I like, and that's what they're doing.
I'll tell you this.
I'm a Defiance defender. I'm sorry.
You do it. And you know what? I don't dislike Defiance. I'm going to tell you. It's interesting, and I'm going to continue to watch it. But when folks come to me and they tell me that they're not enjoying it, I can understand.
Some one person?
It is more than one person, but that's all right. Cool. But see, but the point is, you see, what I have to tell them when they say, I don't know.
I'm talking about some muggle, not probably a science fiction head.
Only my science fiction heads I talk about this with. The muggles wouldn't even try the show, honestly. Okay, so I'm talking about my sci-fi crew. When they come to me about this stuff, what I have to say is,
they pulling you down the wrong world.
Okay, listen.
They not sending you down the right road, Carl. I see you moving in the wrong direction in your life. And these friends of yours, sir, you are not allowed to hang out with them anymore because...
Are you saying I'm hanging with the wrong crowd? Is that what you're telling me? I'm succumbing to peer pressure?
Yes, you are. You're going to buy Samsung Galaxy, for crying out loud. No offense to our listeners, because if you do have that phone, that's fine. You're allowed. But Carl isn't, because Carl sold me on the iPhone, and now he's just like all jumping. And ship like a tray. You Judas? How are you?
Okay, so are you going to keep fussing at me? You going to let me finish? You going to give me a chance?
Wrong crowd.
Okay, listen. Listen. Here's my dilemma, okay? And here's my challenge. Now, I do believe in the potential of Defiance. And I think, you know, they've got a good foundation in place, right? But when my crew comes to me, are you going to let me fit? Come on now. And they come to me and they go, hey, I'm watching Defiance. You know, I watched an episode I don't know what to tell them because.
Friends, Carl. Aw, that's so cute. Imaginary friends. We're not going to talk about them and their opinion is no longer valid. You are only allowed to listen to me now.
Listen, the only reason I'm saying this is because I want them to make a show that will reach out to some more people. Okay? And I'm telling you, the reason when I can't in good conscience say, hey, you got to watch 5 episodes before it starts to make sense. Or, hey, you got to sit down and watch, 6 episodes in a row before you start to figure out why this is important and that's important. They're not going to give it a shot. They're not going to try. And if I can't hook them with one little episode that's got enough interesting stuff happening in it, to pull them in, they're not going to try to sit down and watch this show.
Your fans I'm watching are lame.
I'm getting rid of them. These are good fans. These are good fan folks. They like Doctor Who. They like Star Trek. They like all these stuff.
Because it's the cool thing to like now, and they got them in order to keep their geek cred.
I'm not even going to start with you, Silly. These people have been fans since the beginning. So that is my main issue. So what I'm going to wait and see is if Defiance next season can give me something a little more exciting happening on a per-episode basis. They have laid a great foundation. We've had an entire first season now where they have created a canvas for all kinds of really exciting stuff to happen. I'm connected with the characters. I think it's got some potential. But if they do not...
I think you're not selling this to your friends properly. I don't trust these people anymore.
But if they cannot,
if you are Carl's crew and you're listening to this, you suck.
If you cannot do a better, if they can't do a better job of delivering on a per episode basis in the next season, they're going to lose me, and I'm not going to be able to sell it to people. So
why is it your job to sell it to people?
You just said that I should be pitching it to people, which I do when I love fandom.
Because you are negative. You shouldn't be pitching Jack to no one.
I pitch plenty of good things. I pitch good things to people.
To a man on a desert because you're not trustworthy anymore, Carl. You've gone down the hill a little.
Just because the costumes are pretty does not mean that it's an epic series.
I'm talking about more than the freaking costumes, dude. I really enjoy the show, and it's more than a freaking costume. Don't like try to put me off as some sort of official whatever. Don't do that.
Because
you know me by now, and you know better than that.
Uh-huh. Okay, keep going. I've said my piece, so I do not feel bad about anything I've said.
Aww.
I'm telling you, this is my issue with it. So I believe, I believe I'm not the only one. So let's see how things go. If the second season, because this is how it goes. You know, sci-fi ramps, it arcs up. So if we can get some
your friends just watch CSI and then leave the good.
If we can ramp up with the second season, I think it's got a chance. But if it proceeds in the second season the way the first season is, this might be the last season of Defiance. That's it.
It is only going to be two seasons because no one's watching it because people won't give it a chance.
Wow. I can't imagine why.
Because you expected too much from it.
Wagon train to the stars.
You know what? I don't even know if I want to talk to you about anything else because I'm really afraid you're going to like Falling Skies.
Let's bring it. I'm ready. Are we done? You got anything else?
Well, I'm in a negative space. Let's talk about Falling Skies because let me tell you, I refuse to watch it. What is this, second season, third season? I didn't bother. You want to know why?
Why?
I can't with that show anymore.
It was not good. Why? What was the problem?
It doesn't capture me. Like, they're doing the same thing every episode. At least in Defiance, you get something different every day. You get somebody like aliens and humans with women and crazy. I mean, this thing, Falling Skies, for the first two seasons, we got rubber-handed aliens. We got Noah Wiley in an alien suit. We got the Canadian kids running off. And I don't know what, I can't even explain. I'm not enjoying it.
Okay, you know, there are plenty of legitimate reasons why not to like Falling Skies, but you're just cranky right now, so I don't even know if I want to.
What I want to talk to you about is because I tried to have somebody convince me to watch. Is it third season?
I think they have just finished third season, I think.
Okay, so the third season, I didn't watch any of that. I watched one, I watched the second one, but I did not pick up on the third. I think I might have watched 2 seconds of it and decided hell no. And I'm not sure why. It's like, you know, when that new Knight Rider show came out, I watched literally 5 seconds of that show and turned it off. I don't know why they even do anything yet. And I was just like, no.
Well, look,
and
I'm
this
sure
is how I am about the third season of Falling Skies. And let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. Oh, I told you why. And I don't have a good reason other than it's not good. It's not capturing me. I feel like they go and they do all these ridiculous things. None of it makes sense. The characters are wrong. And I just don't believe that they're these grizzly. It feels like one step above revolution. Just one step above. Like, if somebody said, hey, we're on a desert island and we hate you and we're going to give you two shows to watch, Revolution or Fallen Skies, I'd pick Fallen Skies and then I'd kill myself or that.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong. Oh, you know, I don't tell you. I mean, did you really expect me to say, oh yeah, season three, Fallen Skies pulled it out. It's on now. No.
I really wanted you to tell me something different, Carl. I really want to be wrong about Fallen Skies because you got Noah Wiley in it, dude. That's Noah Wiley. That is the librarian, man. They should have did a TV show, the librarian TV show, and not this Fallen Skies.
You know, season two, the last season, I think that we watched, there was actually more interesting stuff happening in season two
And
than
that wasn't
season three.
interesting at all.
I know. I mean, but you know, there were moments like when they finally found Charleston and you know all that stuff where you're like, oh, maybe, you know, but then they kept killing off all the characters that were halfway decent.
The black characters.
Well, you know, it,
Oh no, the Latino characters, because there wasn't no black people.
well, they just killed off everybody. It was halfway interesting. And so you know, the problem is it just has this you've seen it before kind of thing running through it all. You know, the whole story, even some of the dialogue feels recycled. And so what I hate to tell you is season two is actually more interesting and more different than season three. Season three, I think they got a little bit more budget, and so what they were trying to do is make things a little bigger. You know, they introduced this alien species called the Vome that are supposed
Another alien species?
well I look I don't remember how many you remember, but
It was two.
okay, so yeah, there was a third one that came up. So there were, you know, the crawling guys, and then you know, like the crawling guys, and then the bad guy overlords, right? Okay, well, at the end of season two, we encounter a new species that comes in, and they say, "Hey, you know, we see you've got some problems here. We're coming in, and we're gonna fight, and we're gonna take care of these guys for you." That's what they said. We're going to come in and we're going to take care of these guys for you. And so the Vom are these guys, and they are supposed to be these sort of like noble enemy mine aliens that have come in now, and they are going to fight off, you know, the bad guys that we have seen all along. Well, when that happens, you know, it's supposed to be like, oh, things have changed. It's a turning point. Now there's a new player on the table, and things are going to be different now. The problem is it's different, but we've seen this change before. You know, it feels like so many other series where the sort of alien group out of nowhere drops in, and you know, and the whole time you're wondering, are they the good guys, or are they really just going to trick us in the end? Is it really like they're going to come in? You see how I'm telling you this, and you've seen this before, like you know, this the
Wasn't that
same,
first season?
and so, well, you know, that's kind of what happened. So in
Oh
this,
no, that was first season of V.
well, yeah, it's been first season of like a ton of stuff, but anyway,
Earth's Final Conflict.
yeah, I didn't even
Wee.
want to go there with that. And so they've managed to keep the same kind of you know, acting level going on, the same kind of
Such a nice way to put it.
same kind of slightly miscasting, you know, group of folks. It just, even the voice of the alien Vom, he's got this very noble sounding voice, and you hear him, and on the surface it wouldn't appear that is the sound of his voice, but then when you listen to him, you're like, oh, he's a trustworthy ally. It's just, you've seen all of this
I
stuff.
want you to do the entire rest of the podcast in that voice.
No, I am not going to. And so I don't even care. I'm you know I would spoil it if I was more interested in how things went. But I'm not even that interested in enough to spoil it. Because, I got to tell you this. There's a scene where they got to bring down a super weapon, okay?
Another one?
Yeah, another one, right? See, exactly. That's the thing, right? Our biggest complaint with the end of season two, when they had to bring down the super weapon, was, you know, there's all this
Cowboys
build.
Cowboys and aliens.
Well, look, there's all this build up. It's, you know, very exciting. They're talking about how impossible it's going to be for this to occur, you know, and they like sneak in a sewer. They fist fight six aliens and it's over, right? The same thing. They learned absolutely nothing from the second season, where there's this moment where, you know, now they've been building a giant gun in a basement for like half the season, right? Is the gun gonna work? Can we trust that it's a gun? It's like Contact, right? What are we actually building downstairs? We don't know. The aliens told us to build it, but we're gonna build it. So they build this giant.
Contact was a good movie, though.
I'm just saying. So, you know, we're building this giant gun, and, you know, now something happens where the gun's almost destroyed. Well, no, they end up putting the gun on a boat. And they float the gun out to where one of the enemy towers are, right? Oh, yes. But let's not forget, there was our favorite. One half of the team got on a train. And also,
They're trains.
So one team took a train to a location. The other team took a big boat. It's just ridiculous, right? Because you know about us in trains. It's just like the worst strategic thing. If you're trying to wage a war, a loud, clunky thing that a giant line tells you exactly where it's going to go. So of course they fire the gun, and guess what?
Didn't work.
No. That was a good guess. That probably would have been interesting. No, the gun works. It shoots, it fires. It hits the target, and it looks like it's not going to work. But then some like cracks form, and then slowly it eventually brings down the tower.
So we're watching ID4.
They cheer and they turn the boat around and they go home.
Oh my God.
And all of that happens like in 10 minutes. We've been watching, waiting for them to build the gun all season long. They put it somehow they can put the giant gun on a boat, they fire the gun.
That's the worst sex ever.
But hang on. I totally forgot. Yes, there was some foreplay there. When they fired the gun and they weren't sure if the tower was going to come down, like two fighter ships came out to find them. All right, two of them. They got a giant Hawking alien gun and two fighter ships come out to go, hey, what happened? And then the whole thing falls down. You see, it's like they learned absolutely nothing from the first season. So
the humans are the aliens, because I don't think anybody learned anything.
I mean the writers.
Oh!
I meant the writers. All right.
Yeah. I don't think they watched first season and they hired new people.
Maybe it's not the same writers. You got a point there.
Oh, FFS.
So, Falling Skies is just... It's just not. It's just
why don't
so,
they put it out of its misery?
So preposterous.
I can't do it anymore.
There were actually moments in season two that I thought they might be able to turn things around. You know, they took us some interesting places. Like I said, the whole quest for Charleston was actually kind of interesting, and that they found it is also interesting.
When the chick came down and the plane was kind of cool.
Yes,
it's unrealistic but cool.
Yeah.
Second season. I mean, but it was still like I was forcing myself to watch it.
Yeah. Well, you'd really have to do that. It's funny that the first episode of season three was called On Thin Ice. I think that's funny that they did that, because they really ought to have known just from that alone. But no, I got nothing. I got nothing to say about, you know, Fallen Sky.
It's just with your mouse.
Oh, yes, I am. You can hear that?
Yes, I can. Stop.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, yeah, I was scrolling through the episode guide for
Fallen.
And I got nothing. It was more of the same. And
well, let's stop talking about it.
Yeah, and because it was the same as before, we'd seen that already.
So, have you been sneaking and watching Revolution? I know you have.
No, I didn't watch. I stopped at some point, so I didn't finish it. I watched some, but I didn't finish Revolution.
I knew it. Warehouse 13, are you watching that still?
Oh yeah, I'm watching that. I'm still enjoying Warehouse 13. I don't know why you have stopped,
It's
but
not that I don't enjoy it, because when I watch it, I actually like it and I do it in a marathon. I'm just not in a mood for it right now, for some reason.
well, you should catch up. They did a good job.
And they're canceling it anyway.
Well, they're probably just wrapping it up. I wouldn't say canceling it because it's had a good run.
Ending it.
Yeah. That's
Yeah, I don't feel like I want to get attached.
what. Look, it's not they're closing out a series that we have enjoyed. It's not, when you say cancel it, I think how our normal sci-fi cancel it. Halfway through the season, we don't know what happened. They're going to give it a
They're
dignified.
gonna give you like 5 episodes in one day, Caprica.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I remember that, Carl.
Yeah,
Both
that
of
was
us
bad.
together, just like, are you watching it? Are you watching
That
it?
was
I'm
a
watching
bad.
it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no. So no, it's worth watching. I still enjoy Warehouse 13 for all the silliness that it is. It's funny, it's crazy, it's
Is
nutty.
Captain Janeway still on there?
Oh, I
Okay,
don't.
don't spoil it.
Okay, yeah. But there are some good folks on there. Y'all should ought to check it out. And Claudia's, of course, her position is growing on it, and it's fun. It's fun to see what's happening with her. So yeah, I enjoyed this season. I like you,
Okay.
Warehouse 13.
Futurama is coming to an end.
It has ended. It has
Oh,
ended.
it's ended.
Yep. The last episode was just a couple of weeks
Have
ago.
you seen everyone?
I've seen everyone.
Wow.
I love silly Futurama. I really did. I know you haven't really watched it much, and so that forced me to try to think of how to summarize what Futurama is about. And I was like, "Oh crap! That's a lot of responsibility." I think the funnest thing about Futurama, which is consistent with Matt Groening and the whole Simpsons thing, is there is a level of utter silliness. I mean, it's just dumb fun where it's just, it's Homer in the donuts. It's all of the things always going wrong. It's just that visceral dumbness that's enjoyable. But
I
at the
mean, I don't hate it. It's just that I have a thing about cartoons now that I just can't really.
Okay, let me just finish selling it, and then we'll figure out
Oh,
what
okay.
psychosis is here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Futurama is utterly brilliant. I mean, they crack jokes that require an understanding of quantum mechanics. I mean,
Oh.
genuinely, you get the inside jokes if you know that level of stuff. And so to write a show that is silly and dumb and appeals on the visceral level, but it's still smart and really, really clever, and it just like it really requires a degree on the second side of it, and to merge that together, and still have interesting characters, and to still have unpredictable things happening. I always love Futurama. It is just so much fun, and it was so silly and so unusual that I hate to see it go. It had a good life, and I enjoyed that we got to see it come back. Kind of like how Family Guy had a second life. Futurama did the same thing. It was just so fun. And the way, there was always the romantic will they, won't they between Leela and Fry in that. And they brought that to a close in a respectable and in a good way. It was it, the final episode really did give you a sense of closure in a way that was that was really cute. So I very much enjoy Futurama. I think you should give it a try, even though it's animated. We're going to delve into your psychoses regarding that momentarily.
No. I've watched it because they've had like Star Trek episode and other random episodes that I've just watched, but I never felt the desire to just watch it because it's something that just like The Simpsons, you could kind of just drop in on. It's not like an arc, kind of, or a very intense arc. You can drop in on any episode and appreciate it, unlike how you feel with Defiance, which is just not going to happen for you that way. But I don't hate it, and if it's on, I'll watch it, but I won't seek it out. I was excited that it was on, and I was excited that it came back, and I'm excited that it existed, but I didn't necessarily want to watch it. So, or just like make a commitment, because I feel, how many years did that go on?
A lot.
Yeah. And so I just felt like some people felt with Lost, like, I miss so much. I'm just not going to bother right now. So, I mean, I know it's not that level of intensity with the show or anything.
Nope.
You know, I'll watch it every once in a while, but you know, there are just so many other things that I would rather watch. And so, I mean, I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it had a good run, and it's, you know, I'm glad it exists for the enjoyment of other people, but you know, I mean, good job. I'm glad that you liked it.
You're giving a slow motion noble clap. Well done, Futurama.
Yeah, well done. I'm sorry I didn't watch you, but hey, I know you're awesome. So whatever. Speaking of things that people, well, I guess we're going to go into shows that are coming up.
What? No, we've got one more show to do.
What are you talking about?
The one that you insisted that I watch.
Which is that?
Under the Dome.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Under the Dome. Now, see, Under the Dome. Is it Stephen King?
Of course, duh.
Okay, Stephen King. Because I always do Stephen King or Steven Spielberg, and I always, because they're both Stevens. But yes. Stephen King, when you hear that, I kind of like Haven and, or was that Steven Spielberg?
No, that's Stephen King.
Okay, well, Haven, because you know how I feel about Haven.
Yes.
So, but people love that show, man. People are all about Haven.
It's still ridiculous.
Daryl, do not email me if you're listening about or tweet me or anything about Haven. Anyway, you either. And not you, Carl, the listener that I know is going to tweet me about Haven and their love of it. Don't do it. Send it to Carl at Robo Minister.
I want to hear that.
Anyway, so I was thinking Under the Dome, Haven. What? No. But then I wasn't compelled about, it's just a story about people being trapped under a dome. And so that didn't really sound interesting either. But some of the tweets I saw about the show were compelling. They kind of drew me in, and
like what? What did somebody?
I mean, I can't quote tweets. I don't have Twitter in front of me, but people were really excited about the show. They were like, "Ooh, what's going to happen next? And what's this? And what's that? And that's interesting." And they just felt it was well written. So I was like, "Well, I have Amazon Prime. It's free there. Let me just give it a shot." And I liked it. It was, you know, it had enough mystery to keep me intrigued. The little town that got trapped in the bubble was pretty cool. The guy that was killed on Bates Motel is on here. The guy from Breaking Bad is on here. And maybe a couple of other actors, that the one black chick with the bald head that's in everything. She's in the cult now or whatever, and she's in there, and maybe a couple of other people that I recognize. And it was just this weird town of weird crap going on, and it was like it was a light. What's that? It wasn't exactly Twin Peaks, but if you can like slice. It was like 25% Twin Peaks. And 25% of Twin Peaks is still pretty damn good. So I just was intrigued, like, what is the damn egg? What is the dome that we have to see slice a cow in half at the beginning of every episode? What
That's letting you know the dome don't play.
I was just like, it cut a cow in half. We have to look at the cow carcass every episode.
Shoot.
But
for a Stephen King miniseries, that is epic. So they're gonna milk that.
And so it's just really weird, this show. And for some reason, I just kind of like it because I want to see what the mystery is about. And they kind of tease us and they show a little more leg every episode. So maybe we'll see a knee eventually. And I don't know. I just really liked it or like it. And is the season finale yet? Or
didn't you see it? Yes, right?
Oh, that was the finale?
I think so, right? Are you okay? Did you see it?
I don't know. It didn't feel like a finale, if
Are
that
we
was a finale, but let me
gonna spoil it here? How are we gonna
hold
talk
on,
or?
let me confirm. Can I spell Amazon? I don't think so. Wait, Prime.
I think it was 13 episodes, right? 13
Hold up,
episodes.
hold up. Under, I know, guys, great radio. Sorry, typing, whatever. Under the Dome. Oh, I have not seen it.
What's the last one you remember?
The 12th one is what I've seen.
What?
When did the 13th show up?
Oh, jeez, woman.
Do you want to pause the podcast and let me watch it and then come back?
We better. Yeah, we
Oh,
better.
really? You have time for that?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Seriously?
Yeah,
Okay.
go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, Carl, I didn't know you had that much time. I feel special.
I don't have that much time, but the whole reason I watched the entire series was for you. So come on, we're gonna do this.
So you're gonna let me take out an hour to
Yes,
watch this
I'm
thing?
gonna give you 45 minutes. Watch it, fast forward it.
What?
No commercials. Go.
It's on Amazon, so there's no commercial. Okay, I'm gonna watch it, and we're gonna be right back. We've never done this in the history of Sci-Fi Party Line, so so happy. Okay, bye, Carl.
Bye.
Bye.
When I sat down, I thought to myself, under the dome, it's going to be a story of this town that's trapped.
You saw it crash. Into what?
I don't know, but I mean, whatever this thing is, it is big.
It's like a wall. You just can't see it. We're trapped.
Chester's Mill is your typical small town,
kind of secluded from the rest of the world, but it's anywhere USA.
Baby, you okay?
I can't hear you.
The minute the dome comes down, everyone is stuck there. And so fitting in is no longer an option.
But as you start peeling the layers away, you see, as with anything, that there's a dark underbelly here, and it brings out a cast of characters.
You've got Dale Barbie, who's a drifter, who's caught in town, who has obviously a secret in his past, since when we meet him, he's digging a grave.
He's a former Special Forces operator. He's working for bookie collecting debts.
You've got Julia Shumway, who runs the little town newspaper.
So you're the newspaper woman?
I'm the new editor of The Independent. Yeah.
She's just arrived from Chicago. So she's a bit of an outsider. Hasn't fully acclimatized and integrated into the town yet.
You've got Big Jim Rennie, who's always been kind of a big fish in a small pond, and now all at once his town is on a national stage, and he's the one who's got to try and rise to the occasion.
I got a contingency plan.
No, Julia, this is a crime scene.
No, plane falls out of the sky, that's news.
Hey, I'm the ranking official here and I'm ordering you to leave.
He plays so many roles within the role, within the show itself, with different people. He's funny, he's mean, he's different with everybody.
My character Angie, she works part-time as a waitress. She's a small town girl, but she's always dreamed of getting out.
I just want to get out of here.
You and me both. Angie doesn't like the dome too much. This is the ultimate way of keeping her in town, so it's sort of my arch nemesis in a way.
Well, I play Deputy Linda.
Why Chester's Mill?
Why us? One of the small town cops and is engaged to a fireman and, you know, works under Duke Perkins, who's the sheriff. But, you know, when this dome comes down, basically her whole life just gets turned upside down. She's the type of girl that has had to kind of rise to the occasion and stand up for it and kind of keep things under control. You know, her fiance's caught on the other side, and just having to put that aside and worry about the town and the people of Chester's Mill.
The feel of the piece is a bunch of things. It is the horror and the sci-fi, but it's also a kind of an intense drama.
Are you threatening me?
Oh, just reminding you what the lay of the land is. We're all in this together.
It's real people placed in a surreal environment. You have those that prey on the weak, and then you have those that stand up for the weak.
The dome is just a kind of a metaphor for this fear that we have, that any day we may wake up and the world is going to kind of come apart and chaos is going to ensue.
This dome coming down, it fulfills the dream in some people of a power grab.
We have to find a way as human beings to somehow survive, and how that works out gets pretty messy.
We're trying to make a show where people become really involved with the fates of the characters, who are really asking themselves what's going to happen next.
Okay, all right, welcome back.
Welcome back. So yeah, I just watched Under the Dome. Thank you, Carl, for giving me time to do that. It's much appreciated, and I'm glad I did, because that's a whole lot of information that I would have missed out on speaking about.
It was like not even needing to talk about it if you hadn't seen that. So
Under the Dome is weird. Does it come on TV at all, or just you can only find it online? Is it like House of Cards, or what is it like?
No, I'm sure it's on TV. It's just we were a little behind and watched it online, but it's been on TV.
Oh, I had no idea. I thought it was like maybe an Amazon Prime original, like House of Cards or something.
Nope.
Oh, okay then. Well, I'm fresh off of the season finale. First comment, black man setting up a noose for somebody to hang, not cool.
That's the first thing you got to say. That's the first thing.
That's the first thing I got to say.
Uh-huh.
Okay, not cool at all. The just not cool. Because as soon as he said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Are you serious?" at the same time, and then he was like, "Cool." And I was just like, what are you? Who are you? What is happening? So, okay, that aside, this is really a cool show. What I'd like to see is that this dome travels around many parts of the earth trying to see if people are worthy and what they'll do in a situation like this. I think this little town of Chester's Mill failed. They're going to be destroyed and the egg is going to move on to somewhere else. I would love to see that. And we go on seeing what, you know, people will do each time. And if not, they just get the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Or they just rejoin Earth.
Well, I'll tell you this. At this rate, ain't nobody going to be left under the dome. So that's one thing. People are dropping like flies under the dome.
Well, Hank from Breaking Bad or whatever his name, I don't know what his name is on the show, but he's killing most of everybody. So
Big Jim.
Big Jim, thank you.
Big Jim's taking him out. So, yeah.
He's kind of like a serial killer at this point.
Oh, well, you know, he and his son make a fabulous tag team.
His son is so weird, like keeping a girl in a basement.
Yeah, I hear that's frowned on. Oh, yeah.
Understatement.
Thank you. I would say so.
So, I really like Barbie. I'm concerned for him because we don't really know what's going to happen. The pink stars are falling. And he was like, clearly the Lord think we should hang this dude because we're getting the pink light show. So, I mean, that's not the way I would interpret that at all.
No, of course not. I don't think anyone but that dude interpreted as a sign from above in a good way.
And I really like how he got his son to do it and he's not doing it.
Well, he has always been an outsourcer. That's one thing about Big Jim. You know, he doesn't like to, you know, if he can, he doesn't handle stuff firsthand. He sort of passes it on and lets it happen elsewhere. But he'll take full advantage if it's put at him.
Yeah, so. That's not. What do you think of the show? Because I've been talking, but I haven't had a chance to hear what you think.
Well, it is definitely a Stephen King movie or a series. And by that I mean, if you keep up with Stephen King, I have read many of his books. I have watched, for whatever reason, I've ended up seeing pretty much every one of his miniseries.
I love his miniseries.
It's classic. It is classic Stephen King. So now, that is good and bad.
Oh, no!
Good and bad.
Good and bad.
I mean, really. But, you know, the interesting thing is, finally, special effects are inexpensive enough that they can pull off a decent set of them in a Stephen King miniseries.
Oh, man. He's been getting the short end of it, right?
Oh, the stuff the special effects in Stephen King movies series, you know, movies/series, have been just terrible. They have been terrible to the point where it bothered me while trying to watch them. So honestly, the first time I saw a decent set of special effects in something that was a Stephen King, you know, spinoff or creation or whatever, was The Mist. That was it. The Mist. Before The Mist, every single thing had that after school special Doctor Who kind of, you know, it's like it's just enough for you to know what it was intended. It's like watching placeholder special effects previously. So finally,
those are the worst.
Yeah. So finally, I don't think that he got a sufficient budget. I honestly think the special effects are finally cheap enough that they were able to actually do it right for him this time. And yeah, it feels like classic Stephen King. And that, I mean, when I'm watching this, I feel Stand By Me. I feel The Stand. I feel The Langoliers. I feel The Tommyknockers. I feel It. I mean, it's just one thing after another. You just keep, and you're checking off all the boxes. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, this is definitely Stephen King. So it's well done. You know, it's well produced. Effects are solid. But I got to say, the dilemmas and the circumstances, you know, good country folk trapped in an unfortunate situation at we see the not so best of them is something that I have seen with Stephen King before. And I am definitely seeing it here. So you know, just see a slightly more, you know, a contemporary spin, you know, set a little more recently. Interesting. But hey, look, you know.
I mean, is the story compelling to you at all? Does it grip you? Are you mad at me for making you watch this? Like, how are we doing?
This is a classic Stephen King series. So
you're not answering the question.
Your Honor, I will simply say that in every way this feels like a Stephen King miniseries.
You are a politician right now.
Well, you know, I got yelled at earlier in the cast, so I don't think
you didn't get yelled at. I just wanted you to justify what you were saying, and now you're doing double speak, and I want you to like grow a spine and say something, dude. like that man challenge I did right there. I'm sorry. I want to hear what you. I mean, I know it's classes. I mean, everybody know what that means, but I mean, are you excited about this at all, or no?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I will watch more of them, but I was not compelled to watch it before you suggested I see it. And so I watched it because you seemed very excited. And so because you were very excited about it, I watched it because wanted to give it a fair shot. I wanted to give it a fair shot. There's more happening under the dome than in Defiance. I'll give you that.
Burn. You didn't need to do all that.
Well, but I'm just, you know, I'm saying. So, you know, it really feels like many of the Stephen King miniseries I've seen before.
Oh my God, bro.
It does. Record. It really does. Tommyknockers is probably my favorite book from Stephen King, obviously, because it's science fiction. You know,
I've never seen that.
Well, I'm talking about the book. So I read the book and I saw the miniseries, but I'm talking about the book, and the book was a great read. It was a great read. It's rare that science fiction and horror come together well. And that is one of the few times that it's been pulled. So, and of course, you'd expect it from Stephen King. So I like his books. The problem is sometimes when they're brought to screen, there are some challenges. You know, sometimes the casting is a little bad. Sometimes the acting is bad. The special effects don't quite sync up. So I'm always wary. This has been one of the better interpretations of Stephen King brought to screen. Like I said, because it really feels so much like other ones that I've seen before, I can't say I'm tremendously excited or this is radical or this is something I'm sorry, you know.
Are you excited? Well, let's not go into that, but it's fine for a show. Come on.
But with all of that, I'm saying, you know, if you like Stephen King and you like the miniseries and the stuff that he's done before, This is probably one of the better ones that have been brought to TV. And so, hey, you know, it's watchable.
You know, I've been hearing rumors about them doing a Talisman movie. That's my favorite Stephen King book. I really love that book. And there's always rumors, and we never get around to seeing it. And I don't see why it would be a hard series to produce. I mean, there's only, I don't know. Well, if we were talking about favorite Stephen King, but
I didn't read it. I haven't read that. So, you know, you tell me. Is it a special effects kind of thing?
He has a talisman that takes him between two worlds, Earth, regular world, and like a dark side, trippy Earth or whatever. And he travels the land like Kane from Kung Fu and does stuff. And he's like the chosen one. And
we'll see. Everything about that sounds like Planet Canada, so they ought to be able to do it on a budget.
Never mind. I don't want to see it. Because I don't want to see this in Planet Canada.
Well, but see, that's the thing. I cannot recall seeing a big budget version of something Stephen King's made. Can you think of something, anything? Because for whatever reason, it's like every time they do his stuff, they got to do it on the cheap. And I don't know why that is.
We got to think of something Stephen King has done.
I challenge you. I'm throwing it down because I'm trying to think. But you know, so that's the thing. There is a certain flavor to the stuff that they have made when they do Stephen King.
The Shining. Okay, I got the silent treatment from you. Cat's Eye. Creepshow.
I mean, keep going.
Firestarter.
Yeah, well, nah.
Oh my god, okay, I'm done. It got Michael Jackson, Ghost. He did, oh, that was so bad. Okay,
the music video.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, it was so bad. It's like he tried to update Thriller, but it didn't go well.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Okay. Anyway, Under the Dome, like, if you want to watch something different and you just want to see people running around doing stuff. And by
different, you mean different than other stuff on television, not different than other Stephen King.
Right.
Yes.
I thank you, Carl. I will give you that. Under the Dome is fine. It's good. I mean, I think it's fine. So I would enjoy it if it went the way I just said it in my head, the way the little dome thing would travel around to different places to see if they're worthy. But I haven't, is there a book, I guess? I guess it has to be.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was based on something that Stephen King has written.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see it, and I'll read the book afterwards, because reading the book before is just going to spook me.
I don't recommend that.
Yeah, we've learned that. Don't ever read the book beforehand. Yeah. Read the book as a supplement, and you'll be overjoyed. The only book that was just, like, close to the film and was just as perfect and just the same was Fight Club. That's the only one.
Oh, it's Fight Club.
But Fight Club is the only, like, word for word. It was practically a screenplay from the book. They didn't really change anything except for Tyler Durden was blonde. And, like, if that's the only thing you change, whatever.
Yeah, nice. Right? Nice. Okay.
Ending was a little different, but it's not. Whatever.
Okay.
I digress. So, Under the Dome. Yeah. I if you're going to choose between Falling Skies and Under the Dome.
Please. I mean, no competition.
Under the Dome.
Yeah, definitely Under the Dome.
So let's talk about other new shows that I'm pretty excited about. And let's just go into it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Finally. Yes, some TV I'm getting excited about. Yes.
Yeah, I think you're going to be disappointed.
You do? Why?
I do because you're a grumpy bastard, man.
I am grumpy, but it's only because there hasn't been anything good. If it's good, I'm not grumpy. I'm very happy.
Wait a second. Now, is the series premiere online already?
What are you looking at?
You can look at my screen with me, can't you?
Yes, but that's just a preview, isn't it? It's a minute and a half.
Do you see where I'm doing my mouse? It says next. Oh, that's next episode. Okay.
Yeah, no.
I confused myself, and I got really excited, and I was about to hang up on you and watch this thing.
Mm-hmm. No, we got to.
Okay, so can you see my screen?
I can.
Is it large enough for your old man eyes?
Well, I don't know. You're going to have to hit play first.
Okay, how is that? Is that bigger?
That's better.
Grandpa?
I can see it just fine.
Okay, that's good. Now, we're going to watch this together, and we're kind of going to do a commentary, perhaps, or maybe after. I don't know. Okay.
Let's see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes. Yeah. Right, first time on Sci-Fi Party Line.
Week one preview, Agent Coulson asks a favor of Agent May. Hit it.
Ming-Na.
So you've been briefed.
I'm not going back in the field.
Yeah. You got such a nice setup here. You ever thought about adding a moat? I just need you to drive the bus. Liaise ground transpo, some on-site supervision. This isn't a combat op.
And you don't need me.
I do. Because we'll be running ourselves. Picking the ops, making the calls, just like we used to talk about. No red tape. This is where they actually make the red tape, isn't it? I always wondered. Melinda.
You're really just asking me to drive the bus?
I'm not asking. But it's a really nice bus.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the new TV series, premieres Tuesday, September 24th on ABC.
All right, Ming-Na, getting a job. Another job. That's good. Well.
Ming-Na concerns me.
What?
Because, like, I'm feeling a little SGU, SD right now. And like we saw her in something else, I don't know what, and she was just like Ming-Na again. And so,
yeah, she's always her. Whatever she's always her.
She's not a bad character, but she's typecast, and I'm sick of her type. Yeah. And
well, we don't know. Maybe she's going to be like the mad bus driver gunman. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. She just sat at a desk.
I had a feeling that when he said bus, he didn't exactly mean a bus.
Well, it's an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. bus, so, you know.
By bus, he, like, meant, I don't know, tactical tank or some shit.
I was hoping it'd be like a transforming tank, because that would be awesome. It's S.H.I.E.L.D. It can't be just a regular bus. It's got to be something.
I'm scared. I'm scared.
Just because of me?
I'm scared.
Oh,
I've heard that this could go so wrong. Like, Marvel has been doing well. This TV show's here. I love Agent Coulson. I wanted him in his own film. Him there, he's probably not going to be there every week. You know, we're going to only see him like once or something, like they did JR on New Dallas, and then he died in real life, and I'm depressing you right now. But I'm scared, because if this is Planet Canada, if this is terrible acting, I'm scared, and I don't trust ABC right now. The trust is gone. Give me a hug. I need therapy.
Yeah, I think you might need a hug at this. Look, I am going to remain optimistic.
Are you gonna hold my hand?
I will hold your hand. I'll hold your hand through this. Cause I'm just happy to see Coulson, really. He's always been my favorite. And to get some behind the scenes of what he's been up to. You know, maybe this is gonna be like a new sort of edge for Fringe. You know, some of the silliness that we missed maybe it'll be like a cross between the good parts of Heroes and Fringe. There were good times. Maybe that's what they're going to do here.
So we're only going to get one good season here.
Well, let's hope they have learned something, and that this is what
people in TV never learn anything. There's no learning.
No, but occasionally they fall into something good, and they've got a good recipe. They've got a good recipe. They've got some good people behind the show. Look, let's come on, Grumpy, come on. We could try it. We could see.
Well, I'm excited, but I'm afraid to be excited and I'm afraid to like it. Because then it'll get canceled.
So, all right. Well, we don't want you to like it. You don't have to like the show, but we want it to be a good show.
Okay,
so,
I hate it.
See, that's the way we want to start on the right foot. Kat hates this show, ABC.
Already.
Kate hates this show. See, she started in with Ming already. So yeah. She, under no circumstances.
I hate this whole Coulson's face, even is stupid.
Yeah, see, that'll work. Yeah. Keep telling him that. Keep telling him that.
Yeah.
So, right.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Right. We're starting off right. Yeah. Okay. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is our new show. The Tomorrow People. I don't know what this is.
I don't know anything about it other than it's on the CW. So
what I know about it is that I'm supposed to be excited about it.
Well, who told you that?
Because it's the Tomorrow People, and I don't know. I don't just feel like, ooh, Tomorrow People. I've heard of this. I've heard I'm supposed to be excited about this. So I'm, like Doctor Who, I didn't know what it was, but I knew I was excited about it because other people were excited about it, and I knew I was supposed to watch it. And so it's like, I watched it, and I fell in love with Christopher Eccleston, and he left after the first season, and now he won't even join the 50th anniversary. Okay.
All right. Come on. Take a deep breath. Hang with me now. Hang with me.
Okay. So hopefully it won't be as devastating as that, Tomorrow People. But, Carl, we're going to watch it right now.
Let's see
if I can enlarge this for your old man eyes. No.
Thank you.
Oh, I can go full screen.
Full screen. That's how you do it. Okay, full screen.
Okay. All right. Let's do this.
You're on the brink of becoming somebody truly extraordinary. You're one of us. We're called Tomorrow People.
By the time we're done with your training, Ultra won't be able to lay a hand on. Who's Ultra?
The ones hunting us.
Uh-oh.
What else can you do?
Ha! Ha!
There's a little too much CW-ness on this, but
it's the CW spin on Jumper Chronicle.
Oh my God, it is fun. I wrote down here in my notes, Hayden Christensen. I literally wrote that because I didn't like that movie.
Jumper Chronicle.
What's his face in there?
Who's his face?
I got an IMDb.
I'll tell you this. It does have the CW feel to it, doesn't it? I mean, it is definitely pulling off that whole young
W-ness.
Music video-y.
Yeah.
Golly, school is rough.
Oh, overly pretty people that don't make sense. Mark Pellegrino.
Oh, that's what his name is.
Okay. Yeah. He's in everything as a bad guy. I love him.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give it a shot.
Is that telekinesis? What is it? Transporting? What is their power?
Yeah, I mean, well, apparently they're different powers because we saw the Neo bullet stop hand. Oh. And then we saw the jumper teleportation ability. And so, you know,
was just pretty.
Yeah, well, you know, but she's probably like really, really smart. So that's how you know.
Oh.
Just, you know, that's the.
Oh.
That's her superpower.
Yeah.
She's hot and smart.
Oh.
So we're going to try this. We're going to try this because, you know, sometimes the CW-ness can be fun. It can be good. You know, it's a supernatural. It's Smallville, you know. And then sometimes it can just be the CW-ness of One Tree Hillness.
Arrow is good.
Yeah, Arrow's great. So like I said, sometimes they can do it right.
Arrow is on point.
I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised with Arrow.
However,
yeah.
Second season of Arrow, we're bringing what's-her-face.
Okay.
Cancel Bait.
Which one? Who are we talking about?
Damn it. Oh, God, I can't believe I forgot her name. Girl from Firefly.
Oh, no. They're bringing her in? Oh.
Yeah. What's her name? I can't even remember her name, and I love her to death.
Super Tam.
That's
not
Summer Glau.
Summer Glau. Oh, no. She's coming back?
No, she's not coming back. She's going to be introduced to the
show.
No,
I mean to TV. You know, look, every time she comes on TV, the show
apparently it's going to be only one episode. They made it feel like she was going to be like a recurring thing, and I was really, really concerned.
Okay, see,
after the showing in the Cape, she was on Alphas. That doesn't exist anymore.
Don't scare me. Don't scare me. No, anytime she's a regular,
is Hawaii 5-0 canceled? She was on that.
I don't know, but she probably wasn't a regular, so that's why.
Yeah, it's just one episode.
Okay, well, I don't know how excited I am about that.
Well, she was on one episode of Chuck, and that got canceled.
Really, only one? I thought she was on more than one.
Yeah, she was on more than one. You're right. Damn, I just really hate speaking about her. I feel like a traitor speaking about her this way, because I actually really like her, but It just seems that every time she shows up, shit gets canceled.
Yep, I know. I know. We're beware.
I want her to break this. I don't know. Like, she needs to, like, make a deal with the devil or something, or, like, break the deal.
Yeah, I think probably needs to break it, because already one has been made, I believe. So that's what's happened.
Yeah.
She says, I want to be on a number one hit show that everyone loves. You got it. And after that, every other one just cancel. This wasn't the deal. Oh, but indeed it was.
That was the deal. Oh, that's so terrible. I just really, really hope that she gets killed or something, because that'll be good for the show.
But anyway, so anything else? We got anything?
Do you want to watch to see the Arrow since we're talking about it?
Now I'm still just a couple of episodes behind, but
that's fine. We won't watch the preview, because that might spoil something, and I want to be fresh for that anyway. Also, I have something that I think you need to watch. We won't do a preview for, but I highly recommend Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, I'll
now give Sleepy Hollow does not have aliens or anything in it, but it's kind of, I would say it's more like Supernatural. Cool. But there's of course Ichabod Crane.
Yes.
And he's following the Headless Horseman, but he has a police officer, female police officer, tagging along with him, and she's quite funny.
Cool. All right, quite funny. Look, they're trying to bring back all the fairy tales and all the nursery rhymes. So, you know, Grimm is coming back, and I'm happy to see that.
Indeed.
I'm looking forward to the return of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, you watched that?
I do.
Wow, I didn't know you would watch that.
I enjoy it thoroughly. I very much like that.
Wow, Carl.
Well, I like good stuff. So, yes, it's awesome.
Oh, here we go.
It really is good. It really, really is good. The spin that they take on all the classic fairy tales is a lot of fun. So I think, you know, this is them, Ichabod Crane and crew. This is them jumping on the bandwagon. They're like, ooh, fairy tales, we make good shows. Let's find something else. Sleepy Hollow would probably be the least likely, anticipated TV series. If I had to go through a bunch of old, I probably would not have thought Headless Horseman, but I'm
going to. It's pretty cool, although there's a part, and you'll watch it, and when you see it, you're going to be like,
I'll give it a shot. Like I said, again, just like.
You'll
just
know
like,
the part.
Just like I have given, when I started Once Upon a Time, I wasn't sure what I was going to be expecting. I was like, I don't know. But it really is just fun. I think the characters are interesting. They definitely take you someplace new. You don't know what's going to happen. Even though, you know, we know all the backstory and the supposed mythology of who the characters are, the way they unveil who they are, you know, like, oh, that's who that's supposed to be. Awesome. It's very,
is this
very
a backhanded Star Trek Into Darkness dig?
No, I'm just pointing out what I like about it. Now, if other things have fallen short, I'm not pointing fingers.
Oh, my God. Are you talking shit?
I am telling. See, why you gotta take it there?
Because I don't know what you're doing right now.
I am being sincere.
I'm hungry. So.
I'm being sincere. I'm simply telling you what I like about it. You ask?
Speak ill of Star Trek on this podcast, just so you know.
I have not said one thing.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting what you're saying.
You are. You're paranoid. You're just paranoid. There are things that I do like, and this is one. And you know they've got a spinoff now. So there's going to be a spinoff to Once Upon a Time.
It's called a spinoff, but it's actually the third season, and they're just going to do it in Wonderland.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought it was a separate
season. I thought it was a spinoff at first, and then somebody said that, and I was like, oh, I guess that makes more sense.
Okay.
Because, I think that an additional spinoff would just be too saturated.
Well, I don't know. We got fairy tales everywhere we're turning now, so.
Then it's like, oh my God, it's a CSI, then a CSI Miami, and then a CSI Houston.
They did Next Gen, DS9, and Voyager, so.
But not all at the same time.
They were pretty darn close.
Yeah, they were. Okay, so Dracula, there's a new series starring Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Wow, Arturo. Yeah. Hello, my friend.
Yeah, so Dracula. Witches of East End, it's a Lifetime original.
What? Okay.
If you're interested in that type of thing. American Horror Story, Coven. I'm still loving that show. I don't think have you?
No, haven't tried.
Okay. I think it's really good. I enjoy it. It's a me and Stephanie thing, so. Almost Human is a Fox series with Carl Urban.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to watch that one?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, let me share my screen with you again, and we'll watch that together, because I was concerned. You know me and Carl Urban, I don't do him.
Well, you know, he's hit and miss, so I know.
I did enjoy him in the new Star Trek film.
Oh, yeah. Well,
for whatever reason.
I like him as Bones.
I did not at first, but we
went. Oh, that's right. You didn't. I did.
I was not there. So are they giving us a video? Or they have a... do I need to switch browsers here?
Yes, apparently you don't have Silverlight installed. So, you know.
Oh, wait.
Okay, I'm ready now. Go ahead.
You ready? Okay.
Full screen would be nice. Yes.
Okay.
2048. Because everything is chromed out and looks like a...
This looked like Dread. Dread versus RoboCop. Ah. Bit of the Blood Expo. Ooh!
Bad for guys been asleep for 2 years. It won't last. You just watch.
Detective Kennex. I'm 785. I've been assigned to you.
I'm not trying to do those things.
I kill your nuts. Have you read Tilden's profile of you? Kennex should return to service. Never.
Never? Wow, that's a long time.
What is suffering from depression and psychological
demolition man.
Synthetic body parts.
Synthetic calibration. Incomplete.
Well, that last part is true.
Since you were last here, MX partners become mandatory.
Black Market Medical. I am concerned, Detective. I will need to report what I saw.
Oh my god! This is awesome!
Okay. Apparently he doesn't get along with his partners.
This is a TV show?
Since we don't have any MXs available, department's only cleared one model for active duty.
Oh!
Dorian, John, that's one of the crazy ones. Rude? He's roadworthy. The idea behind the DRNs was to be as human as possible. And while he isn't crazy, there may be some bugs.
Bugs? What kind of bugs?
Why am I in this car with you?
I'm required to ride with the synthetic.
I'm not a huge fan of that term.
Okay, that's enough. All right. Synthetic off.
Synthetic off. Does that mean you want me to be quiet?
Terrific.
Data with an emotion chip?
DRN is good for you.
There are other ways, Detective. Those are the models that replace me. Intimidating. You're lucky I want to be a cop so bad.
Update your files. Let's go. Get a lab box, take a
sample this blood for analysis.
Don't need a lab box. Just downloaded the information.
He didn't answer my question. Why Dory?
Because he's special, just like you.
You know what your problem is? You don't trust anyone. MX units are logic-based and rule-oriented. They have no true free will, and they are designed to feel nothing. I'm not like them. Now, I can't say that I was born, but I was made to feel. And I do, as much as you.
What is it?
It's not a bomb. I'll lead you in.
I do not advise that, sir.
Let's go.
Where's your MX?
I'm off duty. Where's your human? You're not like them.
I should take that as a compliment.
You should.
I am all about this. Carl, oh my God, did you just see that with me? Oh my God!
So, you see, I'm far too cool to do the girly squeeze that you were doing all throughout that.
It just got better and better!
But I gotta admit, that looks pretty darn good. That looks pretty darn good. I mean, solid effects, good acting, they had a reasonable budget. The scope, I mean, the scale of what we saw was broad. There's we've seen, cops and buddy cops before, but
it's just like 2000, Total Recall 3030.
Total Recall, done right.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, I think y'all just heard me have a fangasm.
Yeah, that.
Oh my God.
That was.
Oh my God.
Good. And of course, it doesn't hurt that we got Abrams behind it too. That's
and Fringe people, and it's just so amazing. I've not seen anything so amazing.
I had only seen a billboard before, so I didn't know what to expect with it.
I saw Carl Urban, and I was just like, hell no. And that pretty boy, whatever, with the eye, I'm like, hell no, I don't want to watch that crap. But now,
I think that might be finally some actual sci-fi on TV again. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
Oh my God!
All right, so let's be cool now. We got to be cool, Kat, because remember you can't
I hate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
The pretty boy.
So we're gonna say, yeah, you know that was all right.
J.J. Abrams, he's no longer God.
Yeah, you know it was all right.
Friends sucked.
So it had a bunch of androids in it and was set in the future. Yeah. It's not like I'm gonna automatically like something like that.
No.
So you know we're gonna
right. Fox is gonna get canceled the first season. You know.
I'll try it.
I'll give it a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well.
Wow. Wow. I need a cigarette.
It's good to see Abrams back. It's good to see him back. Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Wow.
That was unexpected.
Wow.
I gotta admit, you know, we were kind of limping along there, and you know, stuff coming out, but that one I am going to be excited. Now,
I'm blown away right now. I haven't been blown away in a while, and I'm blown away.
It's been a while. Well, yes, that's let's check it out. Now, the show I was talking about before, which there are apparently no previews for, and so we don't really need to get into it, but Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Grey's Anatomy, and she probably was involved with our favorite one, space series got canceled too early. That was just like Grey's Anatomy.
Defying Gravity.
That's right, Defying Gravity. Well, I think she's going to be involved in a new sci-fi series about a young woman that discovers that she is an android. So Mila 2.0. It's what it's called. I have no idea when it's going to come out, but they've been talking about it for a while. So we'll see. I don't know. So more androids on TV.
Oh, she does Scandal.
There you go, see?
Okay, well, you sufficiently brought me down from the high that was...
No, it's no high. We are being objective, and we're going to go in and watch this just like we would any other science fiction program that's premiering. We're not getting excited,
Carl,
about...
what's wrong with you?
We're not getting excited.
What's wrong with you?
Because we've been hurt. Come on now. Suck it up. We're going in. Just going to see, even though the effects did look really cool. And
we got to see that look cool.
The premise was pretty cool. And come on, be cool.
Okay. Yeah,
almost human. Well, just check it out with us. Check it out with us.
Yeah. And that's our show.
Thank you. Thank you. And scene.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed now.
Yeah, you guys probably need to check out this preview.
We are going to type on Twitter in all caps that people must see this.
No, let's just all caps it. We're just gonna casually mention that they ought to check out the previews for Almost Human.
I been casual?
We're being cool. We're being cool because we don't want it to be canceled. Come on now. You know the voodoo. As soon as we get excited about this, Summer Glau will be a regular. And then bam, it'll happen.
Oh, you brought me down.
They'll say, oh, this show's going great. Let's put that rumor in it. Bam, another one. Just tap it there.
Dried right up.
Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you for that colorful image.
Oh. Okay.
Come on, JJ. They'll let us down. I've been very...
I must possess... Okay. So, yeah. There's like a light at the end of the... Well, not light at the end of the tunnel. That means you're dying. But what are we... It's a glimmer of hope, yes.
Yeah, there is a glimmer of hope. There's a glimmer of hope that science fiction is actually coming back to TV.
I don't trust it.
I don't trust it anymore.
Now that you brought Summer Glau, I I'm sober now. I don't trust that because it looks too good.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It looks too good, and Fox can't afford that.
Oh no,
They can't afford Terra Nova, and Terra Nova looked amazing. And what if all of what we saw was just in the first episode, and then they go to Canada?
Look, the first minute and the 2 minute preview was better than like half of Terra Nova. Like. I'm gonna tell you right now. Just I didn't see no phony looking people. I didn't get a Hanna-Barbera alien scene anywhere.
I like the baby dinosaur.
Oh my
Everybody just like, why they hating on a baby dinosaur?
It was like Godzuki. No one wanted to see that. So
I'm just scared to watch because there's another show called The Blacklist with James Spader, and there's another show with Josh Holloway from Lost called Intelligence, and I don't want to bring my high down. I might watch those previews another time, but
we'll do that another time.
We're not going to do it today, but my God, I'm more pumped up about that than Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I am too.
Oh,
I'll give you that.
Really? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. After seeing
that painting for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because I was like, Ming, nah, blah, blah, awesome, blah, blah. But
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to bring the comic book to TV, and I hope they do it right. I hope they do it well.
And it's human. It's going to bring the
That was taking it up a notch. So I'm...
Ow.
I'm... And, and like I said, once again, Abrams, he had... I really love Fringe. They were good times, they were bad times. But I always really, really love Fringe. And so if they can bring that quality of sci-fi, and then, hey, we got androids, we got set in the future, which when you set a series in the future, that, again, you give me an environment, a real science fiction environment where anything should happen. I don't want it to be, just a carbon copy of now with just little windows of science fiction.
That's
little
right.
Glimpses of stuff.
Preach it, bring brother. It. Preach bring it, Minister Robo.
And that's preach it. When special effects will be consistent across an entire series, I see a time when androids won't just look like a person with slightly yellow makeup on. I believe that it is possible to make something exciting on a per episode basis as well as having story arcs. I believe, people. science fiction can be. Can be science fiction again. I met the ultra vibrams.
Oh my god. Oh man. Why haven't we done this sooner?
No, it ain't been much.
Oh my god. It's been a drought. But my god, I miss you so much, man. We gotta keep on it. You gotta pull me out of my classes and out of the textbooks.
We gotta be motivated. So apparently now we're gonna be motivated about a little something coming up.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams might have saved the sci-fi party line right there.
Right there. So we are going to end it because we could just drool like for maybe 30 more minutes and not say anything. So, yeah.
You may want to check out the previews, people.
Yeah, you want to do that. And, you know, yeah, do that. I'll put links in the show notes for you. I'm going to put something up on Twitter. You're not going to know what it is. You're probably going to miss it. But then I'd be like, I was right there.
I told you.
So any last thoughts, Carl?
I have been waiting for good sci-fi on TV for a while. So I am enthusiastic about the prospect.
That's good stuff. So, and that's our show as well. We still have a voicemail. You're welcome to use it. I would expect people to send me some girly squeals, even if you're male. 773-336-2686. Carl managed to restrain himself, but I'm pretty sure when I hang up, he's gonna go full Soprano. We have a website. You can leave us a comment there. You know, old school sci-fipartyline.com. Go new school. Leave us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. We have Facebook page, and that is facebook.com/Sci-Fi Party Line. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.